being interrupted. Making room at the table. And being part of an expanding community. This is what was happening along the road and at that table in Emmaus. The evening after that first awful weekend. Easter still continues. The resurrection season is still quite upon us. And Luke's retelling of Cleopas and the other disciple on that 7-mile journey gives us an opening invitation to what it was like to be part of the early community of believers who were still wrestling with what does this story mean? Do I have to change because of it? Can I go back to my home in Emmaus as if nothing has happened? And Luke says, pay attention to the stranger and the table. Being interrupted, making room at the table, introduces an expanding community of Christians. It was true in the early days, right after the resurrection, as true as it is today in 2017 at St. Michael's. Cleopas and the other disciple were on the road talking about all the things that have happened. And they were interrupted by a stranger. And in Luke's gospel, the resurrection appearances are met with Jesus being as easily recognized as easily confusing. I sometimes want to think, if Jesus still had the marks of the crucifixion, how did they not recognize him? Boy, stranger, those are some wounds you have. All the better to recognize me with, my dear. But they don't. They talk with him. They explore scriptures with him. He unfolds everything, and their eyes don't see, but their hearts are ablaze. They actually have to include him in their conversation and invite him to go further with them. Notice that Jesus is willing to keep walking his way. I would love to know where he was actually headed. And they say, no, don't wander off by yourself. We're going to make room at our table in Emmaus for you. Even making room at the table, they still didn't quite recognize him. It's only when Luke gives us that wonderful fourfold action. He took the bread, he blessed the bread, broke the bread, and gave it to them. We at St. Michael's have 3 tables that we gather around to witness Christ across the bread with us. The first one, of course, is this big piece of wood behind me, which is sometimes called a table, sometimes called an altar. Being Episcopalians, we are ambivalent about whether to call it an altar like the Catholics or a table like the Protestants. As Episcopalians, we call it both. But make no mistake, whether it's a table or an altar, it is our gathering meal around Christ as his community. Our week still must be interrupted. We still must invite Jesus in with our prayers, making room for him at this table, at this altar rail, and in our burning hearts as we receive him and receive him. And it changes us as his people. But we can't understand this table at all until we also have a real understanding of the second table at St. Michael's. That second table is the one in each of our homes where we eat. We cannot fully comprehend dining on Christ, with Christ, through him, with him, and in him, together on Sunday, unless we have an idea of what that is like in our private table at home. If you dine alone, if you live alone, Christ has already taught us that none of us dines alone. You can light a candle, look across the table, and break bread with our Lord even by yourself. He is there. In families, of two or families of 10, that is where we gather. And in my family, dinner has become a priority for most of our lives together. First thing I teach when parents say, well, what do I do about First Communion? What do I do about communion for my little one? I say, well, do you eat together at home? Do you experience Christ at your dinner table? There are some dinner tables which feel a lot like a Norman Rockwell painting. And that's wonderful, and that's prayerful. And we can see God there. We can see Christ in the broken and blessed and given bread. There are other times, though, where Christ shows up even and especially when we are most broken around the dinner table at home. How many of you have been in an argument with someone you're living with and it's dinner time? How many of you postpone dinner until it's all reconciled? How many of you say the prayer, light the candle, and eat grumbly even around the table in the midst of it? It's all good. It's all about continuing to see Christ in the broken, blessed, and given bread at your dinner table. We must be interrupted by our family members. We must continue to make room at the table, whether they are Norman Rockwell painting or they are bugging the wadoo out of us. And that is how our family expands. There is a third table at St. Michael's where we move from our individual table at home to our corporate worship around the Lord's table, to our table of witness and service. This occurs every third Saturday here downstairs. As Sarah Miles mentioned when she came to visit last year, y'all have started another church. You all have started another service. This is why it's called service on Saturdays. Not just what we do, but how we worship. When we serve the person at the window with food, when we greet them with a name tag at the door, and when we get up the courage to be interrupted in our walk across the hall to sit down at table, to make room at the table for them and for us, no matter what age, what demographic, what socioeconomic, or what scent they have that day. That is where Christ is being revealed. We must make room at the table, having been interrupted long enough to invite him in. And we must dine together in the breaking of the bread. Luke goes on to tell us that it was in such breaking of the bread that the community expanded and the Christian life continued to grow and to have maturity and life and more people involved than we even knew what to do with. Until 2,000 years later, we're saying, how do we do evangelism? 2,000 years later, in a post-Christian church, we are asking, how did the early church grow? And Luke gives us the model here on the road and at the table in Emmaus. Being interrupted. Our life is not going to be the conversation we always thought it was. Making room in your pew, I meant at your table. I almost asked you all to get up and move around the room and sit somewhere else as a sermon example. We're at the end of the sermon, so I'm not going to ask you to do that. But feel what it's like to have to change and sit somewhere else because someone else is in your chair. That's creating a new home for you and for the stranger who walks along beside us. It's all new, brothers and sisters. We are the Easter people. We are called to be interrupted, to make room at our table, and to grow in Christ in this community.